This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mid-Gaming Hall. Franklin, Kentucky, our closer. Jensen Lewis back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We're going to have the great Wes Reynolds join us here as he does each and every Wednesday. Wednesday is with Wes breaking down the United States Open, our national championship. But right now, I got a lot of World Cup to discuss and also some college baseball. Let's get to it in today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
Four more matches on the pitch today. It's going to start off with Portugal and Congo. That's going to be at 1 p.m. Eastern in H-Town today. Jensen Lewis, do you have any plays on the pitch today?
Right back to it, man. And we've got a couple of bigger favorites today in the first couple of matches with Portugal and England. Let's start there. Just an easy money line parlay, plus $1.19. Do feel that the depth and the quality of Portugal. We'll start there. That game, 1 o'clock for the kickoff there at NRG Stadium in Houston. I just think the ability to run out the great forces, of course, like Ronaldo, Bruno Fernandes, Bernardo Silva, like they're about as good as it gets. A big reason why when we talked with Brian Dunseth, he looked at Portugal and said if there was a team that could cause some chaos, it would be these guys outside of who the usual favorites was Spain, France, Argentina are. So they should control it. Again, Dave, opening round of this group, you're going to see Congo try and, you know, limit some of the goal differential here. Don't think there's any delusions of them trying to win this game by margin, but I would anticipate multiple goals here from Portugal. So I also played in over 2.5 at minus $1.25. Will Congo score? I don't know. I think Portugal could handle this over all on their own, but we'll take the opportunity there for them to get what should be a relatively easy win, albeit we thought that about France yesterday. They kind of played around. We're a little lackadaisical in the first half. I think Portugal will have seen that result and say, fellas, let's take care of business here and leave no doubt. On the England side, the three Lions here, Dave, Harry Kane and company. You know, Jonathan Von Tobel was talking a little in the program that he's kind of interested to see where this one could be. Will it be tightly contested? I think we could see that. However, the quality of England will definitely be on display here. Now, it's all about the tactics and the discipline of Croatia. Will they be able to find late in this game an opportunity for an equalizer, or will England kind of get out in force early and try and make this thing a real pressure cooker from forcing Croatia to send numbers forward? I would anticipate that we get maybe a lower scoring match, but I'm also going to create what we've done the last couple of days with taking England on the money line and parlaying that with an alternate total under 3.5. That pays out plus $1.25. Found that on DraftKings, and I think that's the smarter way to go. Give us a little bit of breathing room here. Could it be tightly contested? Yes. But I think England finds a way late to be able to put this one away. And I think the three Lions control the match. And I think they have enough pressure on Croatia that there will be opportunities to break the dam through the full 90 minutes. The game that is the most intrigued to me, and we've seen the draw play out a lot, maybe not yesterday, but we've seen that be ever present where you have a suppressed total, which we will with Ghana and Panama. This is a 7 o'clock Eastern match time at the Rogers Center north of the border. Now, make no mistake, you have got two teams here that are going to be very, as we like to say, or our friends across the pond like to say, a very cagey attack. They're going to probably prioritize making sure they don't create mistakes that would put them in a spot to lose this match, Dave. So I do find some value on the draw here. We're going to spread out a unit and a half on three plays. We'll take the draw plus 220 for a half unit. We're going to take a little gamble on the first half under, where we've seen a little bit slower scoring from some of these games with lower totals. We'll take the first half under a half goal at plus $1.55. And then we'll also take a half unit on an alternate under two goals flat, Dave, for +$1.10. Yes, you can take the 2.5. I'm seeing it juiced right around $1.60, $1.70. So I'll gamble a little bit here, just kind of knowing the correlated plays will already be in pocket with the draw. And if we get that first half under with no score, we're already in on house money. So I like that spot at 7 o'clock Eastern. Finally, Colombia against a debutante in Uzbekistan. This going to be from Mexico at 10 o'clock Eastern time. Again, just going to kind of go back to the well here where we've really liked to do the favorite and get a little extra on the total right now. So Colombia should be the class of this game. There's no reason to believe why they would have any issue about winning. It's just a matter of, will they expend the energy to be able to cover the spread? I'm not a subscriber to that, Dave. I would rather a comfortable Colombia win and another alternate under 3.5. You can find that at DraftKings at -$1.10 for that parlay. So those, my World Cup fixtures and plays for the four matches we have beginning later on this afternoon.
To reiterate off the top, Jensen, again, Portugal and England in a two-leg parlay. Is that correct?
Yes, +$1.19 for that. Okay. And then we'll do another parlay with England and the under 3.5 in their match against Croatia for a standalone right there.
Love it. We're down to the nitty-gritty here to the Final Four in Omaha with North Carolina, West Virginia, Georgia, and Oklahoma. Let's discuss a little bit of that. And again, any surprises for you? I mean, you were there. You covered West Virginia. I don't think this is a shock to you that they're one of the four teams remaining.
Not at all. But yesterday we had a first for the first time in 53 years at the College World Series, Dave. Two shutouts yesterday. West Virginia 12-0 over Troy, eliminating the Trojans. And then a really outstanding job by Georgia, 2-0 over Texas. That sends the Longhorns home. But before they departed, I found this to be really an outstanding quote. The head coach of the Troy Trojans, Skylar Meade, who actually did play in the College World Series back when he was a youngster, he put it in perspective what this experience meant for the first-timers there in Troy.
Every person who came here now knows, A, what this place is. Like, it's one of the most unique place in the world. It's the best college sporting event, bar none. No offense to the others. Rose Bowl's awesome. It ain't this.
It ain't that. And there's no question. I love that. I thought that was great just because they were in such a great spot with baseball in college right now. And I just wanted people to hear, for a guy that has played there as a player, took a mid-major in Troy and was able to kind of crash the party, if you will, to be one of the final eight. They get a big win in the first College World Series win in program history. And then to kind of have that revelation of, you know, Omaha is as sacred ground as it gets in the baseball world. And I think we're in great, great places moving forward with the parity. Back-to-back years, Dave, we have not had a team that qualified the year before re-qualify the next year. So will that continue in 2027? I don't know, but the health of the game and the final four that we have remaining beginning this afternoon, North Carolina, West Virginia, Georgia, Oklahoma, I think we have the four best teams right now, the way they're playing. And I think we're in for an absolutely outstanding afternoon and evening of baseball.
I had an ex, and she said to me that her favorite sporting event she'd ever been to was at Omaha for the College Baseball World Series, and used to tell me for years that we had to go. That was like a bucket list. We never did together. Maybe that's why she's an ex, and maybe that's on me, Jensen. But again, when you hear that from a guy who played in it and now has coached in it, you've been there. You went there last year for us here at VEASAN. What is that experience like? Because as he mentioned, his players now get it. And for those that haven't been there, they might not fully understand. What is it about Omaha that makes that place so special?
Well, again, it is, you know, if you've watched Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. In the old days of the Rosenblatt Stadium, people will tell you that in the 90s and even before that, it just was a surreal spot. When you got into the grounds, it really hit you of all the history. It is the old Yankee Stadium for college baseball. So many greats have gone through it. So many moments that you'll never forget. And it is the ultimate Americana, Dave. It's so family friendly. It is a gathering place. I mean, you just saw it with the West Virginia fans coming in droves. people driving through state after state, chronicling their journey, very similar to what we're seeing from our international friends and fans coming over to America and documenting what it's meant to them. But as it pertains to today, man, you got two elimination games, West Virginia, North Carolina at 2 p.m. North Carolina wins. They move on to the College World Series final. West Virginia wins. We play a winner take all tomorrow. Same scenario later on tonight, 7 p.m., Georgia and Oklahoma. If Oklahoma wins, they are into the College World Series final. Georgia wins, we get a winner take all after that. I have not seen probable starters yet. I will check the wins here for best bets, but I'll be honest, man, we're gonna have just knockdown, drag-out fights, I think, in both of these games. All four teams well-positioned where they are to really make this a day to remember.
You mentioned it that, you know, it's just a rarity that we don't see what we saw yesterday with the two shutouts there. Is that because now, as we're down to the final four, it's just the best of the best in the pitching? It's going to be tougher to get those runs across and get them on the board? Or is there a little bit nervous energy, too, maybe from the hitting side?
Well, remember, West Virginia led the Big 12 in team ERA. They were ninth nationally. I think you see a lower scoring affair, and by lower, it might be like under 10.5 with North Carolina, West Virginia. We'll kind of see how it plays out. Who knows in Georgia, Oklahoma? Georgia feels like they're a powder keg. They have yet to really put up a big number. Maybe that happens later on tonight.
Going to be fascinating down to the nitty gritty there. We'll be watching and keep you updated on those numbers every step of the way. But when we come back, what goes up must come down. Stock up and stock down. We will do that next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue the Wednesday edition of VSiN by the Books. Going to have our Wednesdays with Wes Reynolds coming up a little bit later on, talking all things United States Open. Our best bets are straight ahead as well. But Jensen, as we say, what goes up must come down. It's time for Stock Up and Stock Down.
Buy low, sell high, as long as you have a reason why. Whose reputation is soaring and who's on the verge of collapse? It's Stock Up, Stock Down.
Okay, Jensen, you have won the coin toss you have elected to receive this week. What is your first stock up?
The only stock higher than SpaceX right now is got to be the influx in the experience of international soccer fans here in these great United States. It doesn't matter what account you follow, what person is from what country, you are seeing takeovers and traditions, but also the appreciation of what the greatest country in the world has to offer. Dave, so much so that the sing-alongs of some of the great American ballads of a generation are being belted out from our international friends and fans. That is from the great Nigel Seeley. You see him during the week on the Follow the Money with Mitch and Pauly. So great to see at the rodeo. Dave, there's nothing more American than getting our international friends and fans to sing Sweet Caroline at a Texas rodeo. I mean, that is fantastic. And I'm sure they all stopped at Bucky's on their way out to get, you know, anything they needed to stock up.
Neil Diamond's got to be so proud to see what's happening, this revolution here in the United States. Jensen, golf clap for that. That is fantastic. And this is what I love about our producer, Joe Friso. If we have something that's in unison, he doesn't say, hey, somebody already got. No. Great minds think alike. It's the Euros. Loving America. I absolutely love this. And I think for all the people that always want to complain about our country, and look at the Europeans coming over here, enjoying the soccer, yes, in the FIFA World Cup, but enjoying the United States of America. I'm trying to be a little bit more appreciative of our country, taking in the sunrises in the morning, understanding that we live in the greatest country in the world, people. And then when you see these Euros coming over here, loving on America, I love what you just did with Sweet Caroline. It is a fantastic. We won the lottery when you wake up every day and you were born in America. You've already won, America. And I just love that the Euros, the majority of them, are coming over here and saying the same thing. So they might have lost the war back in 1776. Bygones are bygones. We can be friends again. Shake hands. You can appreciate our country. We can appreciate yours. It is a great time every day to wake up in the U.S. of A.
Amen. And our favorite account to follow, Freddie, had a day of days.
Yeah,
he was
fantastic.
At NASA headquarters yesterday and got a chance to to tour that. Also giving us a weather report so far this morning, that the weather is terrible in Houston. Guess what, Freddie? We have indoor soccer venues. Don't worry, pal. Portugal and the Congo are going to get underway on time. Speaking of getting underway on time, great job by the NCAA or college football by kind of nudging or maybe pushing Brendan Sorsby out. This was going to be catastrophic if Brendan Sorsby was allowed to suit up and take the field for Texas Tech. With everything that's transpired gambling related, this needed to happen. So they needed to remove a little bit of the black eye. And I think they do that by escaping what could have been an incredible wrath, not only upon them, but the trickle-down effect it would have had on the rest of college sports, Dave. So clearly, succinctly, some order restored, some stock up, yep. And a much-needed boost for college football.
Yeah, it's already chaotic as it is. That would have been truly the Wild Wild West there at Texas Tech and beyond for sure. My next stock up is going to be the UFC. And yes, Freedom 250 was as good as it gets. But for the Ultimate Fighting Championship, and I do feel a little bit nostalgic going back to the days when they would call me in Washington, D.C., hey, would you like to do a sit-down interview with John Jones? I mean, yeah, of course. And they were just begging for eyeballs on this sport 20 years ago. And to see 33 million people watching on Paramount Plus at the White House this weekend, it was as good as it gets. And the lead-up to it on Friday and Saturday, and the way that they did this and they paid the respects to the veterans that were there and the walkouts and the music from the Marine Corps band, it was as top-notch as it gets, and I do think for the UFC and MMA in general, Jensen, this might be one of those watershed moments. It might have been the greatest sporting event I've ever witnessed, and I've been privy to a bunch of them through the decades. That is as good as it gets. Good on you, UFC. Good on you, White House. Good on you for putting on a show like that. That was one for the ages. Jensen, what goes up must come down. What is coming down this week?
Yeah, stocks down for my Cleveland Guardians, an injury they could not afford. And it was just a matter of time to see what this organization would do without their very best player. Jose Ramirez suffering the hamate bone injury. He is out 5 to 7 weeks. And David, couldn't come at a worse time for a team that is battling the Chicago White Sox atop this division. They were already putrid offensively, even with a healthy Jose Ramirez. They're going to be even worse here for the next month and change. It's a full fade of this group moving forward. I don't know if they can weather the storm without him. It's not only what he means on the field, but it's different when you're on the IL, Dave. You're just not inundated every day the way you are when you're on the active roster. Tough times ahead for this group. Stock down for my Cleveland Guardians.
Mine's going to be Victor Wembanyama, and it's not for losing the NBA Finals. It's the reputation of nice Wemby. He had this image, right? Third year in the league. Everybody's like 22 years old coming up from France, and boy, he's so cultured, and everybody loves this guy. I think you saw a different side of Wemby. And by the way, I'm not mad at Wemby for being mad as it appeared he was, whether it was the post-game interviews, the way he conducted himself, and kind of the chippiness on the court. I actually like to see that from the Frenchman. But I think that image, if there was one that was being cultivated out there, might have been shot down. And maybe it took the Knicks to do it to him, right? Maybe it took New York City and that fan base to do it to him, to bring out that side of Victor Wembanyama. So again, not mad at you, Wemby, but just be you. And if this is you and you want to be chippy, competitively speaking, so be it, man. You don't have to fit and check a box for everybody. You be you. I don't need to think that everybody's nice out there, because that's not the real world. Be competitive, Wemby, and let this image stick with you and be mad about it and go do something about it next year. But the nice guy image of Wemby, I do think that is down this week.
Dave, you and I grew up in generations where when we were in a classroom or even when we got into grade school, when you needed to get a drink of water, you would ask the teacher, raise your hand, and go to a water fountain. Now, you may have been taking your life into your own hands and knowing if that water fountain was clean, if there were heavy metals through that. We all survived. The fact that we have kids these days needing to have these Stanley mugs with them at such a young age. Now, listen, I'm not a parent. I have friends and family that have kids that have not one, but multiple of these Stanley mugs. The absurd cost is already ridiculous in its own right. But to have, I don't know, 9-10-year-olds, and just imploring their parents to have these things with them in school or wherever they go. Dave, I'll take us even farther back. We would drink from a hose to be able to get hydrated. Now you've got kids that have Stanley mugs that are the size of their backpacks. And we've got to have this with us at all times? Ridiculousness. That ends my TED Talk.
I will say this. If it was a Stanley Cup mug, then I might be able to get on board. But just a regular old Stanley mug, I'm with Jensen. Just go to the water fountain, kids. We survived. You will, too. I don't know what it is about it. Look, I love our country. You know that. We just talked about it in Stock Up. But the stock down is, why are we destroying our cities when our cities win something? Right? Like, why are we destroying school buses in New York City because the Knicks win a title? Like, we don't need to do that, America. Right? You can be happy, and if somebody else is wearing a jersey that you don't like, we don't have to beat them up for it. Okay? We live in a civilized society here, America. Enjoy your celebration. But when you do, let's be civil about it. Right? This is why we say we can't have nice things all the time. So New York City, I know that this doesn't represent the entire city, but when you got guys standing up and beating up a school bus for no reason at all, and the bus driver's like, hey, man, I got to pay for this. Like, let's think about everybody here, right? Not just about yourselves. It does not give you a get-out-of-jail-free card to go destroy stuff. So let's end that practice. Wherever it started, I don't know, but let's end it today, America. Be better cities that win championships, because they're going to happen every year. Let's just remember this as an example of what not to do. And I think everybody will sleep better knowing that we love our city, we love our team. Let's act accordingly. Jensen, I love this segment each and every week. Fantastic Stock Up and Stock Downs. As always, when we come back, let's get to our best bets. And they might be U.S. Open related as well. That's next right here. VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Football season is right around the corner. The best bettors are already prepared for it. Next week, you can be too. VSiN's going to release our NFL betting guide. It's packed with everything you need to attack the futures market, win totals, divisional races, and the entirety of the upcoming NFL season. So lock in that early bird pricing on our football special for just $175. Be among the first to get the guide when it comes out on Monday. The sooner you sign up, the more value you're going to get, with full access to everything we do across every sport throughout the Super Bowl, which is next February. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and so much more. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We're going to have the great Wes Reynolds on in the very next segment for our Wednesdays with Wes to break down his card here for the United States Open. But Jensen, before we do that, Let's give out a couple plays that you have for the World Cup backers out there. Mm-hmm. What do you have on the pitch today?
Yeah, I do like some of the heavy favorites here. We got a couple of parlays to give out. And again, we've taken it on the chin. Yesterday, France and Senegal, the worst beat of the World Cup so far. That was France in the under 3.5 getting home without any issue. And then we get two goals in the last 5 minutes of stoppage time. Kylian Mbappe, we're going to have words later. Let's go Portugal and England, just a straight up money line parlay. That's plus $1.19 right now. And I do think we get an over 2.5 at minus $1.25 for Portugal and Congo. That is the first game, first match at 1 p.m. Eastern from NRG Stadium there in Houston. We'll also go back to one of the more profitable parlay options that we've done throughout this World Cup thus far. And that's in match number two, Dave. England and Croatia from your home away from home, AT&T Stadium there in Dallas or in Arlington. It's a plus $1.25 parlay on DraftKings, England money line, and under 3.5. Now, the three Lions may get a bit more resistance from Croatia. The tactical discipline of Croatia there, I think, could give England some fits early. But if you get a quick strike from Harry Kane and you force Croatia to have to send numbers forward, maybe that allows a little opening there and England might be able to win by multiple goals. But let's go conservatively here. England to get it done on the money line, under 3.5 total goals for the match. That's plus $1.25. The one I'm most intrigued about is later on north of the border at the Rogers Center. That is Ghana and Panama, 7 p.m. Eastern opening kick. We're going to go three separate half-unit plays here, Dave. We're going to take the first half under to be scoreless. So basically under a half plus $1.55. We're going to take the under two, that's an alternate under, at plus $1.10 instead of 2.5. And then we're also going to take the draw for a half at plus 220. I think this could be very tightly contested. This is also two teams, Dave, that are going to try more to not lose the match than to win the match. And so for me, these are correlated plays here in Panama and Ghana with a matchup knowing where they are in the group stage, Dave. They're in Group L with England and Croatia. So obviously up against it with the two better teams there. And so I think we'll see Ghana and Panama be very, very conservative. And so I love the underplays right there. Final match of the night, we get a debutante in Uzbekistan up against the heavy favorite in Colombia. That is 10 p.m. match start. And in Mexico, to me, this is pretty straightforward. I think Colombia could win by multiple goals, but they also might want to sub some guys off if they're up comfortably, let's say 2-0 there late in the match. So I will play another parlay, Colombia money line, under 3.5. That's an alternate under. That's minus $1.10 for that parlay payout. They should win comfortably. But again, I think they might conserve a little bit of their resources there, knowing that they also have Portugal in their group. So that's a nice way to round out all four matches. We'll have plays in all four of them. Let's get profitable again later on tonight.
All right. Whenever you mention Jerry World down there at AT&T, I am required by law to mention that it is the greatest stadium in the world. It's absolutely fantastic, and I'm not biased at all. Jensen, I've got some head-to-heads that I put out there, and I remember these are tournament head-to-heads. And what I love about this market is if you're in Las Vegas, you can go to all the different books that are out there, and they're going to offer different opportunities for you in the head-to-head matchup, right? And check out your select sports book. They will be different book to book. So you got to do some hunting here to find some plays that you like. And I did find some either all at plus money or close to even money. The first one's a tough one because I do like Siwoo Kim. We talked about him early in the program. But this tournament to me in a four-day matchup, I really like Russell Henley's chances over 4 days on a really tough golf course head-to-head against Siwoo. I'll play that and lay the $1.05. Wyndham Clark does concern me a little bit. High ball flight, but Scotty Scheffler said you got to have that high ball flight this week. You can't just play it low like Russell Henley's going to do. Colin Morikawa, I love Colin, but just ever since the injury, I feel like he hasn't been the same guy. Wyndham's playing great golf right now. Maybe not the most popular choice here, but I'll take Wyndham at plus money, plus $1.05 against Colin in a head-to-head. And then the captain, my captain. Kurt Kitayama, I really like to play Kurt, Las Vegas guy as well. But here, I think Captain Keegs, New York, this is his part of the world. Boston guy went to St. John's. I think the captain might be around for all 4 days. And again, a tough golf course, I think Keegan can do some damage there. So that's going to be a head-to-head matchup that I like as well. Top 20 finish parlay, Jensen. This is a 40-1. You know I like to take these shots. And I was really glad when we had Carl Paulson on earlier last hour. Please like, subscribe, VSiN by the Books podcast. And one of those guys that he mentioned there was Matty Fitz. And he is in my play here. Again, this includes ties to get this 40-1 potentially home. Patrick Reed, I mentioned him a lot. I think he loves, he does. I mean, I know he does because he said it. He loves this golf course, the right frame of mind to be there this week. I think he's going to be around for all 4 days. And then I mentioned both Cams as two guys to watch. That's why I've included Cam Young. Well, I think he's got a really good shot to win this week outright. And Cameron Smith, I think the widening of the fairways is going to help out that Australian a lot this week. So I put those guys in a four-leg parlay, 40-1 here, to get me top 20 in ties. Fun little pizza money bet. You get a lot of pizza back if this thing cashes. Jensen, what do you have on your U.S. Open docket?
Nothing in play just yet, because I did want to wait another extra day to see how bad the weather was going to be. And I'm thrilled that we heard live and in living color from Carl Paulson that you could get gusts upwards of 45 miles.
Oh, my.
Dave, I mean, that almost feels like you'd want to eliminate maybe the afternoon group and be a bit heavier on the opening, you know, guys that are up, what, 6:35, I think is the first tee time tomorrow. So I don't know about you, and I'll redirect to you. By the way, I just tailed you. Cam Smith, 110-1 on Novig. That is amazing. So I'm going to jump in on that. I think what I'm going to do, and here's my short list. I'll ask you where you feel that my best opportunities lie here. So I'll go back to our Splash Sports lineup and I'll just give you those guys. Cause in selecting them, that's kind of where I filtered down to who I'd want to play. These are three options I would have for a top 20. Justin Rose, Shane Lowry, and Jordan Spieth. Now I know Jordan Spieth was a guy that you were looking to kind of fade here, at least maybe for an outright. Would you entertain any of those three guys for a top 20? And I'll give you their prices here as I'm kind of looking at it. Justin Rose is plus 220 with ties on DraftKings for a top 20. As I scroll down to try and find some Shane Lowry and Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth is plus 230. And I would have to imagine that I can't believe Shane Lowry is this decently long for a top 20. That doesn't make sense that he is that long, but I'll find it. Those are the three guys I wanted to start with. Thoughts on those three for a top 20.
Okay. My only concern, and I'm so glad you brought this up, Jensen, because, and I know that Kelly Bidwin and Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, we're going to have Wes on next, talk about it in long shots. I do think the weather and the draw this year might be as important as anything. And Shane's got the bad draw, right? And so does Matt Fitzpatrick, who I do have on my card. The other three guys that I mentioned, both Cams, they've got the early draw. They've got the good windows out there, potentially the good windows. Again, Mother Nature can be fickle, but from what we just heard from Carl Paulson, 40-plus degrees in the afternoon tomorrow, like first-round leader bets, I got to avoid those guys. Now, Carl also brought up one very key point, that he thinks the golf course might be unplayable. And what they would have to do is stop play. There is a real possibility that those afternoon guys, they go, man, this just isn't fair, that the early wave go out there in easier conditions. So I don't know that it'll get that bad that they stop play tomorrow, but he did use the word unplayable in our conversation. So I'm going to avoid some of those guys. Matty Fitz is the only guy right now in that afternoon wave that I have in that top 20 parlay, because normally I would look at Shane Lowry and I would look at Justin Rose and goes, this should be perfect mentality-wise and setup-wise on a tough golf course. I think Shane Lowry normally shows up on a really tough golf course. So, unfortunately, I mentioned this early in the week, guys like Jack Nicklaus will go back to 1963 in the British Open and say, I got a better weather draw that day. These guys know if they're getting the good draw or the bad draw, it sticks with them. I wonder what Wes Reynolds thinks about that. And again, I do think you can separate it a little bit by where these guys get the draws tomorrow. Let's talk about that. Wednesdays with Wes, they're up next right here. Be some other books.
Yeah. Betting by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. We always look forward to our conversations Wednesdays with the great Wes Reynolds. Give him a follow on X at Wes Reynolds and the number one. Does a great job here. And listen to Long Shots. If you guys have not made your bets yet for the U.S. Open, listen to Wes and Kelly Bidlin and Matt Brown. Fantastic work each and every week. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. We were just talking about it during the break here, Wes. Like, looking back to last year's U.S. Open, and J.J. Spahn was the only guy in red figures at one under, making that bomb on 18 in order to get to one under. How do guys break par this year if we're going to get all this wind on an already brutally tough golf course?
Dave, I look back since the U.S. Open has been played, I believe, four times. This will be the fifth since 1986. You had three guys break par, by the way, in those four combined U.S. Opens. Ray Floyd shot one under when he won it in 86. And then Goosen and Mickelson were both under par in the mid-2000s. And those were the only three players that were under par for this thing. So, yeah, I think, you know, this is going to be, you know, if you've seen the movie Tin Cup, where the Don Johnson, like, heelish character was like, I'll take them all day, 18 of them. He's referring to par. Par is going to be a good score here. Considering the field, the scoring average, by the way, in 2018, and I think this will play a little bit different than the 2018 U.S. Open. The scoring average was 74.65. So 4.5 shots over par for an average round. But yet you will see, you know, it depends on if the conditions are good. Remember, Tommy Fleetwood shot 63 on Sunday at the U.S. Open, which doesn't happen all that often, and fell one shot short of Brooks Koepka. But yeah, the wind is the defense of this course. So it's not like, it's not like total links, like Scottie Scheffler was saying, but it's linksy in terms of the way this course is laid out. A lot of water, and it's really the greens that I think are going to be the biggest challenge. Even though they've slowed the greens down, by the way, from 2018, so they're only going to run like 11.5, 12 on the stem, but it's still going to be windy, and putts are going to get blown offline. It's not just drives and approach shots that are susceptible to the wind.
Links-ish, linksy in. I love that. It's a great analogy, Wes. And to that end, that's kind of where Dave and I led our discussion is, well, yeah, why don't you load up on the Euros here? We're so used to seeing it in the Open. Obviously, those guys are used to it growing up and playing professionally. It feels like that's kind of where the top of your card is with a couple of Euros as well.
Yeah, I did. I looked at some of these guys. I looked at guys that really, I think, are good at positional driving, because it's not just necessarily distance. And these are big fairways, so there's going to be guys that are going to, you know, rip driver off the tee. It's not necessarily accuracy either, even though you got to avoid that fesky rough. It's really positions in terms of the angles into the greens. And I felt I put together a card, at least, that has guys on paper that could certainly do that. Tommy Fleetwood being one of them. Really, his bread and butter is success on and around the greens. I think that's the determining factor who's going to win this week. And he's fifth on the tour in around the green and also scrambling. It's an ideal course, I think, for Tommy, because it's not too long. It rewards the positional driving, guys that can control the shots, guys that can play at the wind. Certainly Tommy Fleetwood has a lot of experience doing that. And he's kind of out of excuses, right? You know, it's like, this is the time. This is the time now. You finally, you know, broke your maiden on American soil at the Tour Championship last year. Like, this is the time. If you're ranked as high as you are in the world golf rankings, you should be a contender and win one of these majors. And this one, and I think Birkdale next month at the Open, are going to be his best opportunities. Matt Fitzpatrick, by the way, has already won that major, won it 4 years ago, the U.S. Open, the Country Club at Brookline. Three-time winner this season. He almost won the RBC and almost ran down Bud Cauley last week, just fell a little bit short. But fourth in approach, fourth in greens and regulation. He's pedigreed on the links courses, won the Dunhill Links, which is held in the fall over there at Scotland, close calls at the Scottish, close calls at the Open Championship. So Matty Fitz, I just feel good about where he is right now. And I think those two Englishmen, are going to play very well at Shinnecock.
Yeah, I love those selections of those two Brits in particular this week. They should both play very well there. weather conditions, notwithstanding, depending on the weather draw. And the reason why I bring that up is I know that you eschewed Scotty in your card this week so far. I have as well, and I think Jensen has as well, too. Even though you can get him at one of the longer prices that we've seen in a major, plus 550, maybe 6-1s, you can still try to see if he can scoop those out there. He does get what we believe to be a favorable weather draw and go out early tomorrow. Does that change your opinion of Scotty, or you just think it's too short to play on this golf course?
Maybe it changes my opinion a little bit, and I will have some Scotty exposure probably in like a placement market. There's still some like minus 125 there at top 10. And even we've seen in majors when he's not even quite at his peak, he can still do that. And I'm afraid in terms of going against all the narratives here, because of course the U.S. Open is on Father's Day. He just became a father for the second time around. He turns the big 3-0, turns 30 on Sunday, on the day of the final round, and he's going to try to complete the career grand slam. So all the storylines are like, oh man, it's got to happen. And it just might. Sometimes they do, but yeah, I think the weather brings a lot more players into it. And this is a U.S. Open as well, where the course isn't too long, right? You know, it's par 70, a little bit over 7,400 yards. So it doesn't legislate guys out of play. It's not just biased toward big hitters, or it's not just biased toward fairway finders. Look, we've seen Corey Pavin won this all those years ago, and nobody will mistake Corey Pavin for like Bryson DeChambeau or somebody off the tee. So everybody is legislated into this, and that's why I like this course, and that's why I like this U.S. Open, is because it doesn't kick anybody out necessarily. Oh, man, they don't have the game to win or what have you.
A point of order there with Bryson DeChambeau. We did talk with Carl Paulson about it. He was effusive in saying that's the guy he would target to fade this week. Do you subscribe to that as well, Wes, knowing this is all about accuracy, this is all about putting the ball in play here? Besides Bryson, anyone else that you'd be like, nah, I'd kind of want to steer clear of that, especially on the first page of the odds board?
Yeah, there's a couple guys because of the injuries. I'm not fading, but I'm not getting on board with Colin Morikawa this week, even though he has the nappy factor. He and his wife just had a child, and sometimes guys go right out and win and play very well, but he's had, you know, the injury issues pretty much all year long. So he's a guy maybe I'm eschewing, I guess, a little bit this week. Bryson, I'm not sure how he's going to do, because this is not like the bomb and gouge where you could do that at Pinehurst, or you did that at Wingfoot, where of course he won two U.S. Open. So he's a guy I wonder, you know, how he's going to like this, if he's going to get really frustrated. Like, he's really creative, I think, around the greens and has a decent short game, but sometimes he can get frustrated with that, and you'll get some balloon numbers. So he's not a guy I'm fading, but he's not a guy I'm playing this week for sure.
You gave us a couple of Euros and a couple Englishmen off the top of your card here. You've got a couple Americans on the back end here in Sam Burns and Patrick Reed. And Patrick Reed's a guy that I've got my eye on this week as well. What do you like about those two guys specifically this week?
You know, he's an interesting case, Dave, because he hadn't been playing a lot of golf lately. The last two events that he has played were the Masters and the PGA. T12 at the Masters, T10 at the PGA. So, you know, he doesn't have a lot of that competitive preparation. And usually that's kind of what I side on. I'm like, you know, play these events. Well, he can't play these events right now because he doesn't have his PGA Tour card. So he locked that up, by the way, for next year, basically winning a couple times early on the DP World Tour. And I think that might be good for Reed. He's not been in these grinder signature events or had to play this heavy schedule. So he can focus his time on preparation. I don't think he's just sitting on his backside, not preparing and not with a club in his hand for several weeks. You know, it's not quite like Bruce Litsky used to do that every like 4 or 5 months, get the clubs out of the garage and go shoot like a 66 in the opening round. But Patrick Reed comes to the U.S. Open where he finished fourth here in 2018, top 12 in approach, top 10 around the green, top 10 in putting. I think that's the recipe to win here. Like, he's not a guy that wins a low scoring type of event, but when it's a grinder, I think this guy's a pretty good grinder. So I think Patrick Reed, that's why you're seeing him get a lot of support right now.
Wes, last one from me. Who do we see in the final group headed into Sunday afternoon with a chance to win the U.S. Open?
I think Russell Henley may be there because he's a guy that's really getting close. You know, now he's kind of a fixture, right? six top tens in his last 14 in major championships. Really good tee to green, really good at finding fairways and driving the ball, positioning it well. He's fifth in the world, and yet nobody knows who he is, it seems like. But Russell Henley, I think, is one of those guys that is due. I'm going to say Russell Henley and let's go Russell Henley and Matt Fitzpatrick.
I knew you were going to go British American right there. And the Freedom 250, you know, we're celebrating our 250th birthday. We're going to fight the war all over again. Wes, great stuff as always. Everybody check out Long Shots if you have not done so. It's a fantastic listen. You want more VEASAN? You've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network, VEASAN.com, VEASAN Watch App. We've got Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. They're coming up next.